Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are the Bears not going to win? Or you want to go?
Yeah, I got it.
Because okay. Caleb Williams paints his fingernails.
He paints his fingernails!
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Pure trash talking, Kyle. Pure trash talking.
That was good. That was good. That was a good one. Hey, look, he's artistically expressive. He's an unbelievable talent. And you're going to hate hearing his name for the next 12 years here at Lambeau. He's undefeated at Lambeau Field, by the way.
All right, guys, hang on just a second. We have a special
short sample
guest.
Size.
It's Kyle Long on CBS Sports HQ, so shout out to him for that. You're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Game Day presented by your local Four dealers.
Caleb Williams, 1-0 in Green Bay. That bombshell of an article that came out on Friday from Tyler Dunn just before you and I came on, I'm glad that you and I got a chance to really dig into it and kind of have a long conversation trying to figure out journalistically what was valid, what was not valid, helping readers and listeners kind of decode it. Because it was a messy article in that way. And I feel like as we come in here Monday, the coverage of that is sort of dissipated a little more than I expected. A lot of people kind of just writing it off as a hit piece. Are you sensing some of that in the coverage and reaction?
Yes, and I think Jack Silverstein at Reed Jack did an incredible thread on Twitter talking about it and talking about the lack of journalistic ethics involved in the piece. The only place that I disagree with Jack, and Jack's pretty much spot on, like his feelings are my feelings about how it came together. My only thing is that I would suggest that people read it instead of just completely dismissing it, because I think that oftentimes when it comes to journalism, anything that is said negatively about a team or a person is often just kind of thrown into a category of that doesn't matter. I get that. And like you have a rabid fan base that is trying to bring everyone together for the cause of the team.
And people are trying to feel good with the season on the horizon.
And they should. I get that. I do think that it's an example of, like, if we talk about the concept of the hit piece, I do think it's an example of that. I also think that it's important to have that as an example as a consumer so that you can understand the difference between critique and hit piece.
Yeah, I think it's asking a lot for people to bring the right lens to it, but I would still want to try and tell people, like you say, to read it and use that lens. Or if you need to trust certain people, and maybe some people trust us. Like, there's some stuff in there about Caleb. Let's say if 40% of the stuff that is ascribed to Caleb by those former coaches is true.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's some worrisome stuff in there.
Agree.
And so there's worrisome stuff about Caleb and the way that he approached some things last year, and maybe even the style of learning, and the Bears should have known more and done better. It lets you know what we've talked about, Ben Johnson needing to break him down and build him back up. That's what's going on. That's what's been going on. And I have a lot of faith in Ben to try and do it. And I have faith in Caleb to try and make the effort. But it is a very tough thing that's being asked of the two of them. And some of the stuff that's in there gives you a window as to how difficult it really is.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. But I also think that you have to look at it with a jaundiced eye. And I think that too many of Tyler's pieces over the last few years have come off as being an opportunity for people who have a grudge. And I'm not just talking about the Bears piece, the Bills piece too, that he did at the beginning. I think it was last year. I think there's some, like, he is a vessel for sour grapes. And I think that does something for his journalistic integrity. That I feel bad because I have interacted with, I think I still follow him on Twitter.
A vessel for sour grapes is well said. People find him when they need to unload, and he will give them the outlet to do that.
Yep. And there was some stuff that was just flat out irresponsible.
Absolutely there was.
And that to me is one of the bad things. Like, if we're talking about journalism, capital J, it's one of the bad things about what it is that we do, because examples like this make it harder in an environment where people are already kind of pitted against us. Now, it might be that there's a lot of stuff that is true inside of the piece. And that's why I think it's important that the consumer still read it. But you do need to look at some of the context of it. And like, seeing Jack rebuke it in the way that he did, know that Jack has spent his life as an editor. And in some of the spaces where he is an editor, the fact that he came out and was like, hey, this needed a whole lot of editing and questions asked about, what is it that you're saying? Where did you get your information from? Did you actually try and find out the truth about what it is that you're putting in the piece? And I think on a lot of those levels, it comes up empty.
I think that's true. I just don't think that all of the information that is in there is thoroughly dismissible. And I think that that is a dangerous place that we get when we believe the goodness about something and or the badness about something.
It shouldn't be dismissed on principle of, I'm a Bears fan. It might be able to be dismissed as a piece of journalism because the rules weren't followed.
Well, but certainly some of the writers' thoughts as they're mixed in, and some of the verbiage, and some of the stuff that we didn't like.
But some of the information like that, now it becomes incumbent upon anyone who covers the Bears every day to try and find out, is there truth
right
in that? So in that way, I guess that there's value to it.
Well, see, to me, I think there's value because some people pushed back on the notion of Caleb not being taught how to watch film, right? Including our next guest, Kurt Warner,
yeah,
who was thoughtful in saying, hey, man, that's your responsibility. You're an NFL quarterback. You got to figure out what it is you need to watch. And some of the assistants being angry and feeling the disrespect of the way that was painted and saying, we told him what to watch. You think we want to be bad? Like, some of that stuff made me think that Caleb does have some responsibility on the film watching front, the way that Kurt Warner and others had brought up.
Perhaps. But then you have to, again, like, go back to the context of, remember, this is not an offensive coordinator above reproach. This is a guy who walked in with a bad reputation, and Bears fans know that too, from what they got from Jackson Smith and Jigba. So it's one of those things of like, yeah, maybe that's the case, or maybe Shane Waldron actually is bad at his job, and just the fact that he has gotten multiple jobs doesn't mean that he's good at it.
I hear you. I think, look, it is all ultimately water under the bridge, but it does inform what the process has been that we've been watching and what the process is for Ben and Caleb moving forward. I think that we can read, and maybe some of the listeners were able to read with enough of a disciplined eye to realize what was crap in there and what was something that's worth considering.
I give the audience credit. Like, I wanted the consumer to me is pretty smart, and I know that there are a lot of loud voices kind of shouting all of it down. I want to give you the credit of, you read it and you figure out and hear and listen to other people that you do trust in this situation.
One other Bears-related item of news, just to think about the timeline, and a texter asks, practice squad elevations will be announced shortly, and we'll bring them to you. If we see cornerbacks, then we know that maybe there's injury issues with the corners. If we see running back Britton Brown, then we know that maybe there's an issue with one of the three running backs. So, like, we'll see those well in advance of when we see the inactives.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.